Hey folks, this is Jesse Cope, back with another episode of the American Soul Podcast. Hope y'all are doing well. Hope that your day is going well, whatever part of it you're in. I'm sure glad that you're here. Hopefully you're able to enjoy the podcast with somebody else, talk about it some. Whether it's a friend or whether you're in junior high or high school or college or an adult already, whether it's your spouse, parents, children. Hopefully it gives you all some good information, some information that helps us as a nation turn back to God and Jesus Christ, and even more importantly, as individuals. Hopefully it encourages and strengthens your faith. So, homestead. We got to get some work done. We're not going to finish the coop all of a sudden, but we got to get that duck coop finished because the garden is in desperate need of attention. And I have been putting all the extra time I have into building this thing, which, as you can tell, isn't a lot because we're still talking about it and we probably still will be for a couple weeks. Anyway, Father, thank you for today. Thank you for you, Father, and your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the people that listen to this podcast and share it. Be with them and their families. Guide us, Lord. Bless us. Protect us from evil of any kind. Help us to seek you first, to love you with all that we are, to love our neighbors as ourselves. Guide our steps. Forgive us our sins as a nation and as individuals. Thank you for those who have come before us and left us words of encouragement in our faith, who have left us pieces of truth to cling to in our walk. Help us to resist the attacks of the devil and those who serve him. Help us to overcome our unbelief, overcome our fears and our doubts, and to trust you and know that we can trust you to bring us safely home to you one day. And guide my words here, Father, please. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Have you read your Bible? Have you prayed for your blessings? Asked for forgiveness for your sins? Prayed for those around you, your family, your friends, your enemies? I'm not very good at that part, folks. I'm working on that. Have you prayed for the nation, for those who lead us? Doesn't have to be long, folks. Don't get overwhelmed. Don't have not read the Bible in years or ever and then try and sit and read it for an hour each day because you think you have to, because it's some check in the box. And the same thing with prayer. Don't feel like you have to sit there and pray in some particular manner for 30 minutes in order for God to hear you. Read just a little bit. We've started to do these daily Bible readings. They're usually 3 to 5 minutes. If nothing else, you can just turn it on and kind of listen to it while you're doing something else. God will get the words into you. Might be a little bit at a time, probably will be, has been for me at least, and most of those I know, but he can do it. So have you read your Bible, even just for a few minutes? Have you prayed even just for a few minutes? And if you're married, have you planned your day around loving your spouse in whatever way makes them feel loved? Not the way you think they ought to feel loved or you wish they felt loved, but the way that actually makes them know that they're your second priority each day. And it's an action thing, folks. It's not an emotion. If you're waiting on emotion to love your spouse, A, that's not anywhere close to what the Bible tells us to do. And B, it's not going to happen. But you know what brings emotion is actions. I have found in my life over and over and over again that if you'll just start to do something, the feelings, the emotions will follow. This is a poor example, perhaps, when we're talking about something as serious as marriage, but like working out. I have never, my whole life, and I've had to work out my whole life, from high school athletics, junior high athletics, high school athletics, college athletics, Marine Corps. And I've never enjoyed it. There's been days where it was okay, but I should say, what I should say is it's never been something that I would have picked to do. How about that? That's a better way to say it. Like running. That's not going to be on my top list of things to do for fun. And yet, when I go ahead and go run, so often in my life, I have found I kind of enjoy it a little bit once I get going. Not always, folks. In fact, well, sometimes though, more often the longer I've done it. But I really enjoy when I get done, because I know I've done what I needed to do. And the benefit that you have with your spouse is not only have you done what you needed to do, but you've made this person that supposedly is the most important person, the single most important person in the world to you, you have made them happy. And what you'll find when you do it over and over again is that you do really start to look forward to whatever makes them feel loved, because I mean, honestly, it makes them feel happy, and that makes you happy if you really care about this person. And that's what it really boils down to, is do you really love them or do you not? And the actions, they prove it, folks, every time. Every time. Actions always. Great quote. I can't remember. Emerson, maybe? I don't know. Y'all can go look it up, but the quote is, "Your actions speak so loudly, I can't hear the words that you're saying." So true. So true. We're a Christian nation. We were born a Christian republic. We don't act like a Christian nation anymore, much at all. And there have been times throughout our history where we haven't, and God has been kind and gracious enough to allow us to turn back to Him. You can really make that argument. Even before we were a nation with the first Great Awakening, conditions spiritually and morally were really bad, according to the history that I've read. And that Great Awakening totally changed the trajectory and set the stage for the revolution. The second Great Awakening in the 1800s, same thing, getting rid of slavery, going into the Civil War. Right, totally changed the trajectory, and that's what we need today. We need a great awakening. We can't depend on a politician or a party to fix things for us. We have to start with us. That's why the men that we have in our pulpits across the nation are so vital today. And yes, it's men, not women. You can't, being a female pastor, you can't follow God's word in that action. You can follow God's word in other areas in your life, but not in that. And so we need men in the pulpits, in these leadership positions, that fear God and that light that fire into this generation that's coming up. It's happened in those two times in our history. And one thing we do each year that you can see it again, even though it wasn't a great awakening necessarily, as we went into the Second World War, you see the dependency in the words of FDR really growing stronger in the 30s. And we go over this each year in December And November, we go through Thanksgiving proclamations and Christmas announcements. And so you really see that turning back to God in these dark times. Woodrow Wilson, America was born a Christian nation. America was born to exemplify that devotion to the elements of righteousness, which are derived from the revelations of the Holy Scripture. Again, I have to overturn Everson versus Board of Education, the whole separation of church and state decision by the Supreme Court. Absolutely have to. Because we have to get the Bible back in the center of education so that we know these elements of righteousness, like Wilson said, that are derived from the Bible. And look, all these guys, I say this, I think I said it recently. You may not like the men that some of these quotes come from, but if you're looking for a perfect man to follow, I can point you toward that guy, because there's only one in the entire history of the world. His name is Jesus Christ. And I would highly recommend it more than anything else you do in your life. But when you're talking about men who aren't God, which is all the rest of us, they're never going to be perfect, folks. You're always going to find something you don't like about them, and that's fine. There's probably things that you don't like about me on this podcast. I doubt seriously that any of y'all listening right now agree with me on every single topic, and that's fine. The point is to take the good things, to take the truth, and leave the bad, leave the lies. That's what you got to do. And the only way to be able to discern is to know those principles of Christ. You know, this is the thing, we've talked about this before in the past. It's so important. It doesn't matter whether you're Buddhist or Hindu or Muslim or atheist, or it doesn't matter where you are in the world, what your ethnicity is, what your ancestry is, who your forefathers were, what your skin color is, what your gender is. If you're doing something good in a moment in time, in that moment, you're following the principles of Christ. And if you're doing something bad, something immoral, in that moment in time, you're going against the principles of Christ. That's always true. Always. It's never not true. And so that discernment that we need comes from those principles. So it doesn't matter, if you want to be discerning, it doesn't matter whether you're Buddhist or Hindu or Christian or Jewish or Muslim, you have to know those principles of Christ in order to be discerning. However you got them, might have been from a different holy book, whatever it is, if you want to be discerning, you have to follow those principles of Christ. And the best place to get them is the Bible. The Holy Scripture. Haven't read quite a few of these. LBJ. I'm not a fan of LBJ. Based on some experiences that I've heard from my own family, who has been in that part of the world for a long time, and just based on some history that I've read myself. Doesn't mean he can't speak the truth every once in a while, folks. In these last 200 years, we have guided the building of our nation and our society by those principles and precepts brought to earth nearly 2,000 years ago on that first Christmas. That's the thing, folks. You don't have to be Christian in order to be American. But as Americans, if we don't follow the principles of Christ as a nation publicly, not just by ourselves hiding in a corner, we can't have America. We won't keep it. And we're not. We're losing it right now because we haven't. You go through that whole list. Rejection of God, the whole separation of church and state, godlessness, not teaching our children the Bible, right? Feminism, LGBTQ, lifestyles, abortion, which should have gone before the other two, illegal immigration, communism, socialism, DEI, critical race theory. All of these things, these core values of the left that we've suddenly decided as a nation are good and wholesome. That's the problem. It's not like those things haven't been around in the past. The difference is today we've suddenly decided that they're good and wholesome. And LBJ is saying, look, these 200 years, the thing that's guided our nation in being built in our society are those principles and precepts of Christ. And that ties in really nicely with the Calvin Coolidge, President Coolidge's comment that if those principles ever cease to be universal, right, then the country ceases to exist. I'm paraphrasing that quote. And that's absolutely true. And that's what we see today. Another one, Richard Nixon. Not a big fan either. Maybe some of y'all are, but I'm not, from what little bit I know. Don't know a lot about him. Let us remember that as a Christian nation, we have a charge and a destiny, right? Christian nation. We're a Christian republic. We were born that way. That's the only way we can function. The reason we're not functioning correctly today is because we have rejected our founding and our faith. And that's what a lot of people want, folks. That's a really hard truth that we don't like to acknowledge today. Is there's a lot of everyday citizens that don't like America, that hate the principles of Christ that we're founded on. And you can't coexist forever, folks. You can't ride the fence. You can't reconcile, peacefully coexist with a people that refuses to change their hearts and minds. You know, that was a big deal for us overseas, was the attempt to win hearts and minds, because if we could build that relationship with, whether it was Iraq or Afghanistan, if we could build that relationship with the locals, and there's a lot of problems, folks, with the way that we did it, and that's a whole series of podcasts in itself, but if we could, then things would really start to change for the better. But if we couldn't, they weren't going to change, and we needed to be prepared for that. In the Marine Corps, and this is a morbid comment, but it's so true. And we had multiple leaders that iterated some form of this comment. Be friendly or be respectful to everyone, but have a plan to kill everyone you meet. And that was the idea of, look, we need to try and win their hearts and minds. But if they're absolutely set against us, we need to be ready to respond to that. And folks, we've been going down this path for decades now, not just a few years. And we really need to adopt that mentality. Herbert Hoover. American life is builded and can alone survive upon the fundamental philosophy announced by the Savior 19 centuries ago. Our whole life, American life, is built on the fundamental philosophy, principles of Christ. And that's the only way it can survive. That's what Hoover said. Family, right? It goes back to the Reagan quote. The family's the cornerstone of the nation, right? And then I add in, well, what's the cornerstone of the family? The marriage. Marriage is the cornerstone of the family. What's the cornerstone of the marriage? Principles of Christ. Regardless of whether you're a Christian or not, folks, those principles, if you want a strong marriage, if you are strengthening your marriage by your actions, then you're following the principles of Christ. Doesn't matter whether you're Buddhist or Muslim or Hindu or anything else. If you're strengthening your marriage in that particular moment, you're following the principles of Christ. And if you're weakening your marriage in that particular moment, you're going against the principles of Christ. Always true. Truman, this is a Christian nation. In this great country of ours has been demonstrated the fundamental unity of Christianity and democracy. I love the heart of this quote, folks. I have a little bit of disagreement with it. We weren't set up as a democracy. Our founders rightly feared democracy. We were set up as a republic. Voting was never intended to be a universal right. And us going toward mob democracy is causing us a lot of problems. Voting should not be a universal right. There should be some requirements in order to vote. And if you meet those requirements, folks, then it should be open to anyone who wants to meet those requirements. And then if everybody in the entire nation met them, then yes, everybody in the entire nation should get to vote. But voting should not be a universal right. Just because you're a citizen of the United States should not mean that you have the right to vote. There has to be some qualifications. Not saying our founders got it right. They didn't. But they were right that there had to be qualifications. But just again, this is a Christian nation. It's interesting, right? Harry Truman, that comment is real close to separation of church and state. And I didn't realize how close we were. God bless y'all, your families, your marriages. God bless America. We'll talk to y'all again real soon, folks. Looking forward to it.